Welcome to Vincent Price's Laugh.
Good evening, Internet.
Hello.
You're not the Internet.
I'm on the Internet.
Yes, you are. As am I. And tonight, we're going to be talking about something that's inappropriately titled, I think.
What is the title? I got confused.
Well, originally it was called Exeter, named after the place where they were.
But then the title screen said Exit Us.
Right?
Like a play on Exodus?
Yes. But then the official title is Backmask.
The Exeter School for the Feeble-Minded. The facility's original purpose was to rehabilitate mentally challenged children. Exeter was not a place where young people found help, but a place where they were discarded and destroyed.
It's empty. Yes, let's party.
No way.
Why not? No cops, no neighbors, it's perfect.
No! Get this party started, right?
Didn't this place used to be a nut house?
There's this emo girl on YouTube, swears she can make herself weightless.
Hey, if you believe something enough, it affects you physically.
Let's do it.
Light as a feather, stiff as a board. One.
Two. Three.
He needs a priest.
He needs an exorcism.
I found a do-it-yourself site.
The power of Christ compels you!
Back mask.
Do you know what back masking is?
No.
Backwards masking or back masking is what happens when you lay a subliminal track under music, typically.
Oh.
They say subliminal messages are in new age music and heavy metal music.
Yeah.
Anything basically that conservative religious people don't like music wise. They'll say that there's some sort of satanic message in it. And that's back masking. So,
okay.
You know, Twin Peaks?
Do I?
Of course you do. The little dream man guy speaks backwards, and that's sort of how it is, but it's way quiet under the music.
Yeah, okay.
So you'll play, like, Stairway to Heaven, and it's like, oh, sweet Satan! But all backwards sounding.
Yeah.
You've heard of that?
I've heard of that.
Well, that's backmasking.
Okay.
In this movie, there's no backmasking.
Well, it's videotape. There's a videotape part.
But
where they have one of those VCRs with a dial.
Yeah, but what did they discover? And that's like not even 3 seconds of the movie. And I'm not even hyperbolizing.
Yeah.
So there's no reason why it should be called Backmask.
Yeah, it wasn't a major.
There's a song on the soundtrack called Backmask, but that's also no reason to call the movie Backmask. Well, what is this movie? Tell me.
It's about a group of teenagers who throw a party in this abandoned building that used to be a what do you call it?
An insane asylum,
yes.
Basically.
One of those horrific insane asylums from the past,
so like the Danvers Institute, or institution, whatever it's called.
And then a church in the 80s bought the building that was abandoned.
It was shut down to horrific practices there. It became basically a prison for crazy people or mentally ill.
So the church bought it to be a rehab center. And then there was a fire.
Yeah.
And it got shut down. And now
they're cleaning out the place after the fire. But like the fire was a while ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they're just cleaning out the place.
Yeah.
And our hero, I have a checklist for this movie. Our hero is a good teen, but he's not even that good. He's just kind of a guy.
Yeah.
Kind of, I don't know, judge characters by their friends sort of thing and how they're depicted in the movies. So if you have a straight kid and his best friend is a goofy guy with crutches, and that goofy guy with crutches is like super, probably know what I'm talking about, Night of the Creeps. He's super well-meaning, but he's kind of got a mouth on him because, you know, he's a guy with crutches. He's got to have a defense mechanism. So you still see that I'm judging this main character by his friend, and his friend ain't that bad. It's just like a positive foil to him.
Yeah.
That's just fine. Even if the guy has a little bit of a mouth on him. But when a guy, the main character, has horrible friends.
Like, how did they even meet?
Why? Why are they friends?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, he's the good teen who isn't really all that good. He has reckless teen friends. They're all reckless. There's the preppy jerk who is just all about boning. It's as many women as he can, except he has a girlfriend who is the lascivious blonde.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that a song?
Is it?
No. Suicide Blonde.
Yeah. And then there's his portly pal who is cut from the Jonah Hill mold.
Yeah, we see a lot of that.
Yeah, that's a trope. After Jonah Hill did his thing.
Yeah.
In Superbad.
Right.
To a lesser extent in Accepted. He has this, like, very specific way of being humorously abrasive.
Yeah, which I didn't like him for a long time because of that. But now I do.
But it was him. It was just him doing it for a while.
Yeah.
They would go, get the Jonah Hill. Get the Jonah.
Right, right.
But now it's a trope to get the...
Yeah, there's a few of those guys. Who's that? There's Josh Gad. There's that guy from Staten Island Summer. Okay, well, anyway.
Well, then there's the knowledgeable and accessibly hot girl.
She's usually the love interest.
Yeah, which she is. And then there's the kid brother who, in this movie, resembles Jason Mewes an awful lot.
Yes.
Like, mannerisms, everything.
Yeah.
Except snooch to the booch thing.
Snoochie, noochies!
And of course...
Please don't ever do that again.
Yeah, well... It's the second time I did it today.
Like the fifth time?
No.
That's all you ever do?
No, it's not.
Snooches to the booches. That's all you do.
Never. Just today, while talking about this movie.
You guys don't know. You just...
Shut your mouth!
Shut your booch.
Snooch. I'm not saying it anymore! There's a priest with a dark secret. And yeah. And there's an unlikely villain. Could be the priest. Could be excessively hot girl. Could be, well, is for a while... The kid brother.
Yeah.
So, they party in this place that has dark secrets. And the little kid... I don't want to spoil too much, but I will say this part. The little kid gets possessed somehow by something. And there's a bit of a spaz out. The junk man. That guy was weird. It was like,
He reminded us of Meatloaf.
Yeah, like, the role was supposed to be for Meatloaf back when he was... In his heyday in, like, 1999
like, Meatloaf meets Dog the Bounty Hunter.
I don't know. You're just saying that because his camouflage pants, or not his camos, but his...
haircut, and he's, like, beefy.
I don't know. He reminded me of Sam Kinison.
Oh, he was a potty mouth.
Yeah, he was. He's a jerk. Horrible jerk.
I'm gonna call the cops on you, crazy kids, but hey, I might not if you let me touch your boob or something.
Yeah, creep.
Super, what? You're about to call the... And then you're doing... Horrible. Okay, so. This is kind of an Evil Dead movie.
Kind of. Not as zany, not as wacky. Oh,
it's not Evil Dead 2 or Army of Darkness. It's more along the lines of, I don't know, the newest Evil Dead movie. But that's pitch black.
Yeah.
This movie doesn't have any gore until the halfway point. And there were two kind of, and I'm not using this word to describe the scene, there were two explosive, gory moments in this movie. And they're pretty impressive. But as a shot, set up, at least one of them is pretty set up.
So this movie was strange because it was serious. But there are little bits of humor throughout that are used as levity. They're kind of subtle.
Or is this movie just a really subtle parody of horror movies?
Yeah, you can't really tell.
Like, subtle to the point of they're all capable actors. It's not, let's not tell the cast that what they're saying is stupid and a joke. Let's get the most naive cast ever and have them say all these lines seriously. Or it's not like Airplane or Scary Movie, in which you get really good, serious actors to do obviously stupid stuff.
Right.
But there are some times when they're looking up information on the internet, a DIY exorcism thing, which is really funny.
It's like this Flash animation.
Yeah, it's like 2005 Flash animation. This DIY exorcism, and then has like almost like the safety manual on an airplane.
Right.
Kind of illustrations.
Slightly animated.
Yeah.
The power of Christ compels you.
And then it's got this somewhat automated robot lady voice telling you what to do when exercising somebody. So there's this exorcism theme going throughout the film. You pointed out something about how the possessed are always portrayed.
Yeah, they always have the same look on their faces. Like, I mean, I don't know what it's like to be possessed. I've never known anyone to be possessed. I can't say what it would be like. But what movies have led us to believe is that possessed people only have that mad dog, snarly...
Feral,
looking to the side. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I would like to see a possession movie not have that, just to break it up some.
Like, I mentioned this earlier. If I were to direct a movie, I would try to get my producers on my side that had possession in it. I would think of Vincent D'Onofrio's portrayal of Edgar in Men in Black.
I put my hands on my head. Like this?
because he's a giant insect inside of a tiny man. Well, Vincent D'Onofrio is a big
Vincent
man.
Vincent D'Onofrio is not
but
a tiny man.
He's way smaller than the giant insect. So, this giant insect is inside this human body, puppeting it. And if you watch it, it's really interesting. Vincent D'Onofrio is
figuring out how to use the body.
How to use the arms and everything. Puppeting, really. And how to move the mouth. And it's amazing. It's the best performance in that movie.
But how much is that saying, really?
Yeah, I know. But it's an incredible performance anyway.
I love him, though. I do.
Vincent D'Onofrio is great. So I would say, actor, study that role. Now, don't do funny stuff, but try to wear your body as if you've never worn your body.
Yeah.
Because we're all wearing our own bodies. So. My soul is, anyway, wearing mine, I think.
If we even have souls.
I do. There are two of them on the bottom of my feet. That's stupid. Anyway, this movie has good cinematography, crazy gore payoffs, really crappy music.
Hey, did we mention who directed this movie?
No, not yet.
It's Marcus Nispel.
Yeah.
You may remember him from the 1990s and music television.
Oh, yeah.
What music videos did he direct, Andrew?
He did...
Pop Quiz Hotshot.
Okay, that's speed. He did my favorite music video of the 90s, which is Small Victory by Faith No More. And he did Greedy Fly by Bush. Do you know what he's directed as far as movies go?
Nightmare on Elm Street.
Absolutely not.
Oh, Friday the 13th.
Yeah. Yeah, anyway, so... Marcus Nispel directed Pathfinder, which is pretty good. That's Carl Urban as a Viking boy among Native Americans, but it wasn't America at the time. And then he directed Friday the 13th. He directed a television pilot that wasn't picked up called Frankenstein. And that has a really funny cop duo in Parker Posey and Adam
Goldberg.
And it's hilarious.
Yeah, both, that sounds funny.
Yeah, they're both... it's not supposed to be hilarious, but they're both playing this... Anyway, it's on Netflix if you want to check that out, Frankenstein. This movie, though, is it a slasher?
No.
No.
It's just... It's an exorcism movie with gore.
A possession puppet people movie. Can I recommend it? Yeah. But is it... It seems like a step back in his career. I know he probably wanted to do something original, not just some sort of remake, because he's been doing remakes. He did Conan the Barbarian, which wasn't quite a remake. It was just trying to reboot the franchise. That didn't work, because they're doing another one with old man Conan.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Conan O'Brien?
Yes.
He's old?
Yeah, he's pretty old. No. Schwarzenegger.
Oh.
I'm King Conan. That's my impression of Conan O'Brien. It's a really bad impression of Conan O'Brien. The worst, actually.
Oh, jokes.
So, I think this is an alright, just chill.
It's okay. I mean, it's what it lacks in...
Charm?
All the tropes that are in it, it makes up for it in good kills.
Which is horrible to say, because...
Yeah.
Why? I don't...
And also, I mean, it doesn't look like it's a cheap movie. Like, it sounds like it's a cheap movie. Like,
yeah.
As far as, like, dialogue and stuff, like, it's really kind of just nothing special.
It's sort of generic.
But it doesn't... Yeah, it looks...
Marcus knows how to use a camera.
Yeah.
He knows how to set up a scene. He knows how to use a camera. And here, when those two payoff scenes happen, boy, do they happen.
Yep.
They're pretty great. And stay till the end of the credits. There's a little tag at the end.
Oh...
It's not Samuel Jackson.
So let's talk about the other tropes. These are kind of silly tropes because it's about teenagers.
Yeah, crappy music. I just want to say that again.
You're such an old man. You hate the teenagers, young kids movies.
No. It's the same exact music that they would have. Well, a little bit rougher and more bikery here, like Sons of Anarchy style. Tough guy music. But the same kind of like Motorhead-ish, but by really crappier performers.
Well, what I was referring to, though, was how many times are we going to watch a group of teenagers use a Ouija board? How many times are we going to watch a group of teenagers play Lead as a Feather, Stiff as a Board?
Well, that one's not as much of a trope.
Well, it's in the craft.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's two times then.
Okay, twice.
Twice. But Ouija board.
Ouija board. That's over, all over and over and over.
So the Ouija board, they make a Ouija board.
Mm-hmm.
It wants to communicate because it wrote up.
That girl just like does it from memory, huh?
Yeah. No, actually, they looked it up on the internet.
Oh, they looked it up.
Because they have
a
tablet. And
okay, that makes sense.
You weren't paying attention. Gotta be Hawkeye when watching movies.
Yeah.
So, the light of, as a feather, as stiff as a board thing, I've never played it. But what I've read about it is that it's basically physics at work.
You've never been to a slumber party?
No, I've been to a church lock-in.
Oh, that's not the same.
Nope.
What'd you do, like skip rope and drink grape soda?
No, I kicked my friend in the face. I know karate, and at the time I said, you know, and I hadn't limbered up, I said to him, I can kick over your head. It's easy. I know how, I can totally do it. And so he's like, okay, he's so trusting. And then I kick him in the face. Like, I do this, my leg comes up and around his head, supposed to.
Yeah.
Up and around and over.
Except.
I smack him in the face with the side of my foot.
Like you're trying to challenge him to a duel?
Pretty much, but with my foot. And his face was so like, but you said you weren't gonna hit me. Like, totally that expression. And I was like, and I gave him a big hug.
And that's why lock-ins are stupid.
That's why.
Well, I've been to slumber parties.
And you've done the...
I've done light as a feather, stiff as a board.
I thought you ran away from...
No, that was the Ouija board. I did not do the Ouija board.
Mm.
I cried. I was scared. And I cried, and I had to go home.
Okay, so what did you know of Ouija boards back then? And how old were you?
I think I was in maybe like the fifth grade.
Fifth grade. So fifth grade...
Yeah.
What the heck do you know of Ouija boards? Did the kid come up with the Ouija board going, hey, let's play with the Ouija board?
Oh,
something really terrifying?
I was not friends with Gollum, thank you. It was just one of those things that everybody knew about. I can't really say how I was introduced in my life to the Ouija board.
Hmm.
It's just one of those things, man.
Because I remember being at a party also, and me and my best friend, we were, like, really sensitive to darker things.
Uh-huh.
And he spied the Ouija board over to the side. Nobody was playing with it. It was leaned up against the wall somewhere. And he was like, let's leave. Let's leave now. That's the only time I've ever been near a Ouija board.
You're so satanic panic.
It wasn't me. It's my environment.
Okay. So, light as a feather, stiff as a board. I'm sure that some of our listeners have played it and know that it is real.
Yeah. It's physics, though.
Basically, I mean, I guess I could just go through the premise of it really quickly. So, you get one person to volunteer to lie down on their back and not move. And then the rest of the people...
How many?
Could be five people. It could be eight people. Just, you know.
Okay.
They sit around... like on their knees or whatever, around the person who's laying down. And you put your index finger and your middle finger from both hands under the person ever so slightly. So you don't like reach far underneath them. You just kind of shallowly. There's a mantra that's repeated and it's, you know, you say a lot of feathers if it's a board over and over and over.
They did something at the beginning of this one though. They said something about how he died.
And yeah.
The kid didn't die in the movie. He was
right. Well, yeah, that's part of the game though is.
Just to spook everybody.
To get you in the right mindset, you know, like you make up a story about how this person died, or you'll say something like, oh, this person looks bad, and then like the chorus of people around goes, oh, he's, you know, she's getting worse, and then it just keeps progressing until, oh, now she's dead. Yeah, so
kid games.
And I'm using the feminine pronoun here because mostly it's girls who do this. So she pretends she's dead, and then you start repeating lies of other stuff as a board and try to lift the person all at once, and it works.
Well, in the movie also she counted down and then they counted along with her.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's just like any device that will get the group in sync with each other.
Okay.
To do sort of a mind over matter.
Yeah, well, that's it's not even mind over matter, it's simply being in sync. This is what I've read about it, being in sync with other people. You know, you make a couple of attempts and it doesn't quite work.
Mm-hmm.
And then everybody's body becomes in sync as far as the lifting goes, and the person who's laying there becomes stiff because they're compensating for the hands that are under them and all this stuff. And so then easy to be picked up, but it seems like, whoa!
Yeah.
But it's weight distributed among 4 to 8 people, whatever.
Yeah. Your brain does play a trick on you because you're repeating light as a feather. Like, you're making yourself think that this person is going to be light.
Yeah, okay. I see what you're saying. And the Ouija boards, when people use Ouija boards, it's their subconscious moving the thing to an answer that you're answering. You're making you ask the question, do you like bananas? And then...
You really, really want the spirit to like bananas.
Yeah, or like that's the answer that you would assume. So then, like, your subconscious moves it that way.
And you're not even aware that you're doing it.
But anyway, those things are in this movie. Nothing about the the banana, though.
Yeah. Okay, so the one thing about Light as a Feather, Stiff as a Board that is in the movies usually that does not actually happen in real life is the person just levitating on their own.
Floating on their own.
Yeah, that does not happen.
That doesn't. Yeah, it's gotta be held by people.
Yeah. So that's what we learned.
Yeah.
We learned about the physics and brain workings of these teenage games.
Yep. Do you like this movie?
I can't say that I like it. I can't say that I don't like it.
Can you recommend it? You're shut in some night in October. It's raining.
Yeah.
You have options.
Yeah, go ahead and watch it.
So when would be the prime time other than me making you watch it?
I would probably watch this on my own. You like any time, but, you know, I like scary movies.
Give me a date, give me a time, That's serious, guys. The credits say 2012. It's taken that long for it to come out. It's taken a bit, 3 years. For it to get there. I don't think it was terrible. I actually thought it was going to be really, really terrible as far as all the kids were behaving until the halfway point. And then it was like, all right, I'm on board. Yeah. I think it makes it a somewhat of a hidden gem. I wish it was better as far as the characterizations go.
Like, you want to really like the kids?
Yes, I do. I always want to like all the characters.
Yeah.
I'm that guy.
These weren't the worst, though.
They seemed like it at first. But watch it, I'd say. Don't own it, rent it.
Yeah.
Netflix it if it's there. It's not right now, but do. And on that note, I bid you farewell.
Bye. That's what the Ouija board says. Goodbye. Goodbye.
This podcast is brought to you by Ouch My Ego. Visit ouchmyego.com.
The power of Christ compels you.